welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. This is Ben Olson. With me is Nathan Fox. Today we have an email from Arturo. Is that how you'd say his name or her name?
His name, Arturo. It's Arthur in Spanish.
I don't know Spanish. Hello, Ben and Nathan.
Por qué no?
I'm a fan of the podcast and a bigger fan of the demon. 3 months ago, I switched from Seven Sage to the Demon and couldn't be happier with my decision. Went from scoring a 149-151 to 158-161. Nathan's approach for logical reasoning was a game changer. Anyways, I write you guys because even though I constantly score decently on logical reasoning, usually -3 to -5, I score significantly lower on reading comprehension, -9 to -11. I honestly don't know. What's up?
I just cringed. That's a real big difference in performance. I mean, -3 to -5 on LR, like getting 20 to 22 correct on LR is strong. Like, I have no question about Arturo's reading ability. You can't get that many right on LR if you are proficient. You know, it just indicates a certain level of proficiency in reading, right? The LSAT is always a test of reading comprehension. Yeah. If you're a bad reader, you're not getting -3 or -5 on LR. So then when I see -9 to -11 on reading comp, it's like, it's like 2.5 perfect passages. Or, you know, 4 real sloppy passages, like missing 2 questions per passage it's certainly not necessary. Like, I don't think anybody should have that scoring profile, I guess is what I'm saying. I think I'm cringing as a way of saying, oh, that's probably fixable.
Something you're doing wrong, obviously. Yeah. I honestly don't know what the problem is, since I feel like if logical reasoning and reading comp tend to be similar, just with most of reading comp being questions being must be true questions, which is true. Am I just not that good of a reader to get -3, -5 on reading comp? English is not my first language, so maybe I should focus the rest of my studying on perfecting logic games. I tend to only finish 3 games.
Hey, why not both? Why not both? Yep. What is this? Why is this a trade-off? You're going to be a lawyer. Lawyers wouldn't trade off. Lawyers would perfect their games and then get as damn close to perfect as they can on both LR and reading comprehension.
But also, I would point out that you can only study games, for example, so much. So why not study games and then switch gears and study reading comp in the same day or one day and then the next day? It's easier. I just have a little over a month left for the June LSAT, and I would like to make the most out of my time, and I feel like reading comp might be just one of those things that takes time to become good at. Are the students who scored around -2 at reading comp really just good readers? Well, they are good readers, but you can become a good reader by practicing good reading skills. I would say, look, Arturo is a big fan of the demon, which means Arturo can drill in the demon and come across story times, which are predominantly by you. But I think he needs to listen to how you read the passage.
That would be a good start. Yeah. I mean, you want to read the passage super aggressively. I mean, it's not just like this is logical reasoning and these are a whole bunch of must be trues. It's you have to read the passage properly, which means you're reading it to get an agenda, right? So in the story time videos, yeah, I mean, I'm demonstrating the proper attack of one of these passages. And it is certainly possible that Arturo's just not attacking the passage. I mean, I did one last night in class where I think I predicted the answer to like 4 out of the 6 questions, something like that. And that's not like a must be true strategy. Like, is Arturo just going into the answer choices going, oh, well, because it's a must be true question, I need to prefer a more weakly stated answer. and, you know, I need to be skeptical of strongly stated answers. I mean, that might be technically correct, but that's the secondary thing that you should be thinking about, never the first thing that you should be thinking about. And content always trumps. And I would say at least half of the questions on logical reason or on a reading comp, you should be predicting the answers.
Yeah.
I think that goes along with what you're saying, Ben, is that you got to read the passage really aggressively. And then you do have to take the time to try to predict. The questions are probably easier than you think. I mean, they're going to ask you something real specific sometimes, and you might have to go back to the passage to kind of like look up, oh, what exactly did they say about this one particular thing or this one particular time frame or whatever? And you'll be like, well, the only thing I know about it is X. Well, that's going to be the answer.
Yeah.
Almost always. Yeah. And that doesn't really have anything to do with this idea that they're all must be trues on reading comp.
Yeah.
Like, even though that's technically true, that's not the game.
Yeah.
The game is, what did the passage say? What's the question asking you? Can you make a prediction? Almost always, you know, you can, and that's just the answer.
Yeah.
I understand, I guess, why people say things like, I just have a little over a month left for the June LSAT and want to make the most out of my time. But my response, and I'm sure you would agree, Ben, it's like, well, I mean, if you're not ready for June, there's August, there's October. Like, you know, the best score you've noted here is a 161. Well, that's a long way away from a 171. And I don't have a magic bean to sell you to get you instantly from 161 to 171. So like this trade-off about like, well, I can only do so much, so I have to pick. Should I perfect my games or should I try to get better at RC? It's like Arturo almost is looking for permission to give up on RC, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, your timeline suggests that Arturo sees the timeline, the June LSAT, as this hard deadline. So his only life is a series of trade-offs, right? It's always trade-offs. And right. It's like, so by making that immovable, then your trade-offs have to be with whatever time you have left, which even then we would say study both. Now the trade-off there would be maybe that's not enough time to study both by June. But there's this other trade-off. Why not trade off going to law school later for a better law school or a freer law school?
Well, I mean, we're talking about like, hey, you've made it 10 points so far, Arturo, and that's awesome. Like you've worked your ass off. You've improved by 10 points. That's amazing. But these days we hear people improve by 20 points regularly.
Yeah.
You started in a really good place. 149 to 151 is an excellent starting score. That's the kind of score where frequently people will end up in the 170s. Yeah. And so I just don't want you to sell yourself short. I, you know, like you have a gap in reading comp that I think you can close because you're doing pretty damn good on logical reasoning. And I know you can close the gap on games. I mean, anybody can score perfect on the games eventually if you just do the work. And that next 10 points, Arturo, you know, the 10 points from 151 to 161 kind of gets you in the conversation.
Yeah.
But the 10 points from 161 to 171 is going to completely change your life. Like it's worth 6 months. It's worth waiting another cycle. It's worth withdrawing from the June test if you have to. It's worth a couple $100 to re-register for a future LSAT. It's worth $100,000 at least. That's not even counting like lifetime earnings and any of that type of shit. That's just purely scholarship, you know, at the UC Davis's of the world. 161 gets you in. 171 is probably auto full ride.
Yeah.
Worth well over $100,000. I mean, $150,000.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. And it's also worth like, oh, all of a sudden you're getting into Berkeley or Stanford or something that you weren't getting into before. not even close with a 161. And, you know, you could end up, I mean, I'm not overstating it. You could end up getting a full ride to a school that wouldn't even admit you at your current level.
Yep.
So I just, he wrote us wanting to talk about reading comp, but I would prefer to talk about like big picture timeline. You know, maybe you just need to stretch this out a little bit.
Cool. Thank you for writing in. If you all want to send in a question for the show, email us at daily@lsatdemon.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. And can I tack on a PS? I mean, our teacher, Santi, is not a native English speaker and ended up scoring 170 something on the LSAT, which means that he got perfect or near perfect on reading comp. So like, it's not just as simple as, oh, well, I'm not a native English speaker, so I'm probably never going to get there. No, I think Becca also went, Becca, it was something crazy. Like she went from, and she is a native English speaker. And I think she went from like minus 13 or something wild like that to perfect on the reading comp. Yeah. So people can improve vastly on that section and on the other sections as well.
Cool.
Thank you.